Murfreesboro Mayor Will Stevens joining us this morning. Morning, Will. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, Tom. Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, glad to be able to come here, too, this morning. Hey, first off, I guess the proper word is congratulations. No challenger in the upcoming mayoral election.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. No one filed to run against me, and I think that contested elections are a good thing. I think that it makes you a better candidate, so I'm going to still go out and, to the best of my ability, try to meet people. Hopefully between now and when the election would have been in April, there'll be some easing of the COVID restrictions. I don't ever want the fact that I don't have a challenger to make me lazy. And so there's still plenty of challenges, and I know there's plenty of people that have concerns, and I'm certainly by no means perfect, but I appreciate the people putting their trust in me.
It's the second term without a challenge?
It is. I was elected in 2013, reelected without opposition in 17, and then will be reelected, in April without opposition.
You know, it was an interview a while back, and to be honest with you, I think I'm still shocked. We were talking about revenue and the effect that COVID-19 had, and you said it had had kind of the exact opposite in your community because you're such a shopping location for a large portion of the county. Has that changed? How are you faring financially in Murfreesboro right now?
We continue to see a trend that has been positive this year compared to last year. We are somewhere around $150,000 to $175,000 ahead of what our estimated revenues for this year's budget would be, and it looks like we're going to close out the year strong. And so I am thankful for that. I know that there are many communities. I think 80%+ of communities are not in the situation that we are in financially, and of course with the non-passage, if that's a word, of the fair tax. I know the state's going to have some budgetary issues, so we're still being very judicious in the way that we are managing our budget, because we know the future is never assured, but we are happy with where we stand right now.
How did this happen? When a week ago, I'm talking to Guy Alonji, Mayor DeCoin. He says, you know, 300,000 lost. And we're talking, I said, you know, my rule of thumb, Guy is about 70% of that salary. He says, you know, in our town, it's about 86%. And so here he is looking at 300 and we're not done yet. How do you account for this increase?
Well, I think it sort of starts with where you put your baseline. We have a good city council in Murfreesboro, and we have good city staff, and I've got a great financial officer here in Murfreesboro, and they all put together a plan every year that is considered thoroughly, and I think that that's one place that we begin. And then secondarily, the dynamics in Murfreesboro with places like Sand Ridge, places like Ava, places like Campbell Hill, to even some extent Carbondale and rural Jackson County, they come to Murfreesboro to shop, and we have seen a growth in our downtown, and we've seen some new locations open there, retail locations. And so it is a difficult thing to put your finger on, but we have been thankful that we've continued to see positive revenue growth, and I think there's a lot of different things that go into that recipe for success. And if I said it was any one thing, I would be lying, because to be honest with you, I'm not sure. But I just think that the position of Murfreesboro, certainly the Walmart and the other economic growth that we have seen here over the last 4 or 5 years, have put us in this position.
What about online sales? I mean, now we're collecting by zip code on online purchases. I'm wondering if that doesn't have some effect, since people have been leaning into it so heavily.
I think that has had some effect, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that is something that Scott Evans, our financial officer, has mentioned in the past. It's a really difficult thing to know exactly how much taxes we are getting, how many people are being fully compliant with that, but you would have to think that as that has been implemented and as that became law and as that system was put in place, that we would realize more sales tax revenue, but we wouldn't think that it would be any more, any less than any other community.
Right.
So this is a really murky crystal ball to look into, to try to figure out exactly why we are in the good position that we are in.
So the allotment, $328,787 for cure funds for the city of Murfreesboro. Tell me about the application process and what's it look like when it comes to Murfreesboro and the percentage they'll see from that allotment.
I was just talking with my administrative assistant this morning, Sandra Ripley, and she, because I expected that you might ask this question, and she believes, and so do the rest of the staff that are working on this application, that we should receive the majority of that money, of the $328,000. That application is due, I believe, toward the end of January, and it's currently being worked on now. So hard to say, but I trust my staff, and if they say that we're likely going to get the majority of it, then I'd say that we will.
Good. Then that's some good news. Well, you're probably in the budgeting process now if you've not already concluded it, so it's good to have some of these items on the table to be able to evaluate going forward.
It is. We are a calendar year budget in Murfreesboro, so we are currently working on our budget for next year and trying to make sure that we meet all the challenges we need to meet. You know, we've had some pretty big infrastructure projects, including the wastewater treatment plant, the road to the wastewater treatment plant, the new water main down Walnut Street. These are all things that we are continuing to do debt service on. And so we have to be aware of those things and, of course, make sure that we account for our collective bargaining agreements, four of which are all being, actually two of which have been settled this year and two more I'm working to settle here before the end of the first quarter of next year. So there's a lot of moving pieces there, but I think we're going to be all right.
So another question I want to ask you, pre-COVID, you know, we were pretty excited about the prospect of hotels. I was telling Will a story on Friday when I asked him to join us this morning that I had been living in a hotel in Murfreesboro when I moved to this side of the Illinois. And when deer season came, Angelo Fiorino came to my room and said, look, I'm going to need you to sleep in the sauna the next couple of days. It's deer season, and I've rented your room. Now, I put you a cot down there. You'll be fine. You're not here half the time anyway. Don't worry. He was great about it, and he'd been great with me because I was literally living there. But it's always made me hypersensitive to the subject, that and my affiliation with the barbecue festival, that we have so many guests come to town and not enough hotels. And we're coming through the funnel on being able to have some really nice places for someone to stay in Murfreesboro.
Yeah, exactly. The new Holiday Inn Express is slated to open sometime between mid-March and mid-April. And it's a 75-room hotel, and the project there is called the Muddy Monster Way Project, generally speaking. That is the name of the new road inside the development, and there is actually going to be a statue of the Big Muddy Monster there as sort of a tourist attraction. I think people will be interested to see that, and there's going to be some other retail things open near the hotel. I'm really excited for this. I started working with Joe Capias in 2014 to try to make this happen, and it's taken a lot to make it happen. There are not many hotels being opened right now, so we count ourselves very fortunate that he has remained committed to the project. I've been touring there about every other week, and I just love seeing the progress being made. It's going to really help our tourism because the hotel motel tax is certainly, I believe, going to increase, and that'll help the things that tourism, that commission is involved in, to be funded appropriately. So I'm just thinking that there's nothing but positive things that are going to orbit around that hotel, because I know it's going to be run well and it's going to be new and people are going to want to be there.
Well, you know, and I've told you more than once, I keep thinking, you know, when it comes from a marketing concept, Murfreesboro is perfectly placed, the gateway to wine country.
It's the gateway to wine country. The people that fish on Kincaid Lake and Murfreesboro
right.
Lake, the barbecue capital of Illinois, destination that 17th Street and others bring people to town for, just the thing that every community has, weddings, anniversaries, class reunions, these types of things, all of the festivals we have, whether it's St. Patrick's Day, Apple Festival, Blues Festival, Brew Fest, the 4th of July fireworks, there are a lot of things that go on in Murfreesboro, and having a really quality new place for people to stay, I think is going to just do everything to help those events continue to flourish.
And you know what? If you don't think that tourism in Kincaid Lake's a thing, go to the boat ramp at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon and look at the license plates.
They're from all over, and the musky fishing in Kincaid Lake has become a particularly big deal. There's a group called the Musky Hunters that not only just fish the lake, but every year they host a lake cleanup day, and they go around and walk the bank's edge and pick up trash and other debris. And so we're thankful for them, and they are from all over the country. That has become a big deal specific to musky.
Yeah, it was interesting. I was reading some of your Facebook posts over the weekend and saw where you had taken exception to the announcement of President Mahoney moving his office, SIU Carbondale, to SIU Springfield. And you said you were surprised other elected officials had not taken exception to that decision.
Yeah, I don't really understand it. There's nothing Southern about Springfield, and it's Southern Illinois University, as far as I remember. And SIU Carbondale is the flagship university, and it's just disappointing. And I understand the reasons given why the president is going to live in Edwardsville for a while and then ultimately make his home permanently in Springfield. But we forget about the Stone Center, which was built specifically to be the resident of the president of the university. And I am very passionate about SIU Carbondale, and I'm unapologetic about it. That's where I grew up in Carbondale. I'm a graduate of Carbondale High School. I'm a graduate of SIUC with my degree in integrated marketing communications from the School of Journalism. And I want that campus to be as successful as it can be. And I think it's more successful when the president of the system is living at the flagship university. Now, with that being said, I want to give great kudos to the new chancellor, Austin Lane, because since he has been in Southern Illinois and on the job, I have had two experiences where he shared his cell phone with me, and he said, if you run across somebody who needs to get in touch with me, just reach out to me. One case was a undergraduate student who was considering going other places for graduate work, and I was able to connect her. So they had a good conversation, and now she is staying at SIU Carbondale. Chancellor Lane has done a similar thing in wanting to meet with the local business owner on my behalf. And so I think that there are a lot of positive things about what is going on at SIU Carbondale, and I don't want to inject myself there too much, but I cannot help, as passionate as I am about SIU Carbondale, but to have that reaction when I saw that he was moving to Springfield. The president, that is.
Before I let you go today, Will Stevens, Murfreesboro Mayor, joining us this morning. I want to talk to you a little bit about COVID and enforcement and mask mandates and the philosophy that goes along with it. You know, there's been a lot of arguing back and forth about mask mandates, whether law enforcement has the necessary authority to enforce these rules. The governor saying, call your mayor, call your city councilman, ask them what they are doing to keep you safe. As a closer here today, you, the city council of Murfreesboro, voted for a mask mandate. It's in place in Murfreesboro. Just as a general, what can you share about the situation we find ourselves in and that decision-making on the part of the city?
I think that the mask mandates are all about setting down a standard that you believe to be right. And what I mean by that is that I think it's only respectful, especially to the most vulnerable in your population, elderly people, people with autoimmune deficiencies and these types of things, that people wash their hands, wear a mask, and socially distance. Now, the idea that you're going to be able to rigidly enforce that, I think, is, well, something that's easy to talk about in an academic sense, but not very easy to do in a practical sense in your community, because there are exceptions. You know, there are some people who can't wear a mask and whatnot. I wear a mask everywhere that I go where I can't practice social distancing, but, you know, from the very beginning of the pandemic, the governor said this is a social contract that we need to enforce upon one another. And that is sort of the baseline that I have worked from the beginning.